Great, wonderful to see you all. Today's daf brought to you in the Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf tet, and we are holding right at the beginning of a new Mishnah. You know what? Because our Kapitan has got to get back into shape, we're going to be mechabed him with a Zukta Helika Mishnah. What do you say, Rich? Can you handle it?
I'll try. It's a bad morning, but...
look right next door. You better watch out.
It's a little long for a house visit. Zukta Helika Mishnah.
Okay, so we embark in this parak with a very, very fascinating new issue that is central to an understanding of our Masechet and the next Masechet as well. And that is the ambivalent attitude that we have towards Nedarim at all. So remember, the way that the Torah introduces the concept of Nedarim is remarkably how to get rid of them, not how to make them. And that is a very telling point, is it not? And in fact, as we know, the whole issue of Nedarim is introduced with an aspect of unreality. And that is the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu introduces it with Zeh HaDavar. And Zeh HaDavar always means something that is not an absolute. It's the opposite of the idea of Ko Amar Hashem, as Chazal point out. It's only Moshe Rabbeinu who would be capable, he's the only Navi that uses that Lashon on very rare occasions when we're talking about issues in which human ideas of projection apply to dinim in the Torah. So let's say if somebody wants to bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu according to his vision of the carbon, in other words, it becomes a shchut echutz or akrabas chutz, that's introduced with Zeh HaDavar, which, by the way, is an important issue today, as we'll see. Nedarim are introduced by Zeh HaDavar for the same reason. They are an intersect of the ideas of a human being who, so to speak, has his own concepts of morality that, as the Gemara puts it, lo dayecha masya asra teira, what's the problem? You know better than God. God says this is mutter and you come along to say it's asra. But the fact is that there are these rare places where the Torah provides for that intersect. And that's because we have a lot of gray areas in life that are not really covered for all people in exactly the same way, obviously. So the whole idea of neder, just as the concept of chassidut itself, the way Chazal use it, are issues that need to be personally defined. And because of that, there's something innately wrong with the idea of making a neder, as we're going to see today. And if that's the case, then we have to ask ourselves, and what about Nidrei Hegdesh? And what about the Kedusha of Nazirus, and so on and so forth, which the Gemara is going to actually examine. But this idea that introduces also elements of Hataras HaNeder, Hafaras HaNeder, which is what we've been discussing, that means that we've taken for granted that there's an idea of how it is that we can get rid of Nedarim, automatically makes us recognize that we better rethink our approach to the way in which the Torah views the aspect of neder bichlal. And therefore, I'm suggesting some pickup over here to a very tired Gabi. Okay. And therefore, we begin with the amazing concept in our Mishnah. Dig this. Kinidrei Rishaim. What? Okay. I don't know. If somebody makes a neder in which he specifies that his neder is like the type of neder that Rishoyim make, so then it could mean anything. It could mean, depending on the context, as we'll see, he could be making himself a nazir, he could be being mechayev himself a korban, he could be making a shvua. If he says kinidrei kisheirim, lo amar klum, what decent person would make a neder? You nuts? And therefore, even if he would say something which is in and of itself normally a proper yad, But if he ends up saying, I'm doing this the way that an Adam Crusher would make an Eder, then it's all nonsense. Lo amaklum. However, if he says, Kinidvotam, I'm making a Neder, not a Neder, I'm making this Osir, we'll see what the cases are, the way that a kosher person would bring it as a gift, then it's the same thing. Then he was Nodar, Benazir Bekarban, maximally, because no kosher person under any circumstances would make a Shvua, so he couldn't possibly be making a Shvua. So therefore, he's two out of the three he could be making. It's possible to be a Nazir Kinidvotam, and it's possible to bring a carbon to Nidvotam, yes. What in the world is going on over here? So the truth is that the Mishnah, as is so common with these kinds of open-ended questions, the Mishnah is essentially addressing multi-leveled usages of this concept. Now, even though it appears that these are machlokas in between the Rishonim, how to understand the Mishnah and the Gemara that follows and so on, the truth is that there are mostly different applications of the idea. So the way that the, and this is the most famous pshat, is the way that the Ran takes it, and therefore that's the way that most of the Mefarshim go also, because it's not only the Ran, it's many of the Rishonim who understand that the Gemara is saying is that, let us say, this is how the Ran defines it precisely, let us say that a person utilizes a yad. So, for instance, as we said earlier, if a nazir is standing right there in front of you, and you say, I would like to be like that, so then that is considered to be a yad to naziris. Remember, we mentioned that before. But suppose you would add a hey, and you say, kenidre kisherim, I want to do this properly, if good people would do this, then you're not a neder. This is, you're not a nazir, because kisherim do not make those kinds of nedorim. That's the point. Or let's say there's a carbon standing in front of you, and you use the lashon hare alai. You say hare alai, not a hey, but hare alai. That's a lashon of a carbon, right? Hare alai ola, and so on. So then that would be normally a yad to a carbon because of the contextual issue that, remember, that we said before, that clear language allows the yadayim to apply to a case where you don't need the yad to define it. The neder is defined contextually, not because of yad. And then a connection to the word carbon, that is a yad. Fine. But if you would add the words to bring this carbon away, kisherim or neder, nope, then you just canceled it because you said you only want to do it like an Adam Kosher. What Adam Kosher would do that? That's weird. What do you mean, what Adam Kosher? I thought people make nidrei hekdesh all the time. Now you're telling me nobody in his right mind would do something like that. I don't know. Then let's say that you have a beautiful challah in front of you, right? And you say, hey, Menu. So what would that mean? That you're making a neder not to eat from it? Not if you say, kenidre kisherim. And what if you're saying that it's on you? So then it would mean that it's a shvuah that you're not going to eat it. That for sure, even if you would say kenidre kisherim, would never be a neder. A shvuah, I mean. Why? Because kisherim are not nishba. So that is one approach to the issue, that all of them are referring to contextual things, which otherwise would have been yadayim, and with the addition of kenidre kisherim, you're making your neder dependent on its being a dover ratsui, and therefore the lashon of neder is not ratsui. Now, that would mean, gentlemen, that there's a concept of a lashon that's ratsui by naziris, that is different the way neder and nedava, I don't understand. A korban, you could say, hare zo ola. That's a nedava. You could say, alai. Then that's a neder. And the difference is, alai is like you're taking it on your back. You're going to be responsible for it. And I understand that, therefore, only a rusher would say that because, I mean, what if he can't afford to bring another one? Something happens to it, et cetera, et cetera. But if you would just say a nedava, hare zo, so then, if anything happens to it, it's not your responsibility. But what in the world does Naziris have to? You can't, if you're going to say Hareini Nazir, okay, how else can you say it? I mean, what would mean the difference between a nedava of Naziris or a neder of Naziris? Therefore, the Ran explains very carefully and openly. And other Rishonim discuss it in ways that are a little bit less open. And that would mean, for instance, if you're telling me Nidrei Rishayim at the beginning of the issue, I mean, last I heard Yaakov Avinu made a neder, no? Didn't he? I mean, wasn't that the whole thing? That Nodrim Be'et Sarah, and this is what Yaakov Avinu did. And this is like, whoa, Mikansha Nodrim Be'et Sarah. I mean, that is a neder, isn't it? So the Lashon of the Rashba is, it's not a neder, it's more of a nedova and a hodah. Now, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, he made a promise, no? I'm going to be giving you ma'aser, mikol, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the Ran explains like this. The difference between a neder and a nedova is not necessarily a halachic difference. By korban, it happens to be a halachic difference. But by extension, it means something else. And if you take a look at how we actually use the word, you'll see that that's true. The concept of nadvanut means what? The desire to give yourself. What is Avram Avinu? Bat nadiv, bito shel Avram Avinu, nidava, a person who dedicates himself to something. On the other hand, a person who makes nidorim is, what is he doing? Swearing. What do we use it? Cussing, swearing, cursing. What do you mean? But he's being a nice guy, trying to bring a carbon. No, he's a bum. He's swearing. What kind of, I understand, what's the relationship between swearing and cursing and cussing? So you see that even in terms of popular speech, it means totally different things. Therefore, the Ran says the use of the word neder and nedava has to do not with necessarily a technicality. That's just an expression of one instance of the way the technicality is ipso facto an expression of the difference between a person who cares and a person who doesn't care, as we'll see. But using the word nedava, exactly the way the Ritva pointed it out, using the word nedava means this is coming from my heart. It's coming from the depths of my desire, from my involvement in what I'm doing, and not from the sense that I'm in charge and I can do what I want and I can make things be the way that I want them to be, which is the concept of the neder. And therefore, it applies to Naziris as well. How does it apply to Naziris? As Gemara is going to ask. I mean, so where do we see that a person puts his heart into the Naziris as opposed to thinking that he's morally superior and using the Naziris as, I don't know, he'll influence God not to take revenge against the fact that he just went ahead and raped five people and so on. So I'll be a Nazir. God will be merciful me. Or maybe he just finished embezzling $5 million. Okay. So that is an inappropriate Naziris. I understand. Well, what is an appropriate Naziris? So that the Gemara is going to be talking about. And that's going to be in the context of the very difference between the usage of the word aneder v'nedava. So I hope that's clear. It's a multi-leveled mission that could be applying to different cases, in which case, if we don't even have different explanations of the applicability of the word neder or nedava to a particular case, such as Naziris. So imagine a case like this. And this is the way the Rambam understands it. This is the way the Mefarish over here that appears under the name of Rashi understands it. That the idea over here is that if a person says that if I eat this, then I should be Kinidre Rishoyim. And he says, if I eat this, Hare Alai Kinidre Rishoyim. He said, Alai means he owes the korban. If he says, Hareini Kinidre Rishoyim, means he's making himself a Nazir. If he says, Heimeni Kinidre Rishoyim, and he's making a Shvua, never to eat bread like this again, and so on and so forth. So then that would mean it's not only the way the Ran was learning it, that the usage of this actually reduces the power of the yad, but rather it itself becomes the definition of a type of yad depending on the language. Hareini, I am in a state of, what could that be referring to? Naziris. Yeah, but not if you said sherim, indeed. Okay. Alai, what could that be referring? A carbon, but not if you said sherim, that's true. So the very fact that you said Kirishayim, that's what makes it to you, because you're saying, I want to do it the way that Russia would do it. So you're making that. That's the point. Okay, so it's a very different, but basically the same idea. Is it a reduction of a yad? Is it itself a yad? The Rambam learns the later point, not the earlier. But that doesn't mean that there would be a disagreement in the case of which the person actually said it, and that the Rambam would disagree with the Ram necessarily on that. That obviously not. Okay, so these are some beautiful yesodais, and opens the perek up with the ambivalent attitude that the Torah has to Nedarim and to Naziris. Obviously, there's ambivalent attitudes if a Nazir has to bring a Korban Chatas. Well, why is he bringing a Korban Chatas? There's something wrong, wouldn't you think? Okay, so all of these things we're going to look at. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Maybe when the person is using this pejorative term, Gnidei Rishayim, that's the whole point. He's trying to say, I view that thing as Rishus. I would never do that. So maybe what he's saying is, I do not want to be like a Rasha. I mean, isn't that at least a Yadayim She'enan Mochichot? No, I mean, I don't understand. Omar Shmuel, you're right. Remember, Shmuel is the one who talks about Yadayim She'enan Mochichot. The Omar Kinidrei Rishaim Hareini, or Kinidrei Rishaim Alai, or Kinidrei Rishaim Heimenu. So therefore, if he says any of those words, let's say Hareini, so then he means he's a Nazir. I am in a state. If he says Alai, he means I take the responsibility for a Korban, which is the way you bring a Korban. If you say Heimenu, so then you've made a Shvua, that you're going not to be eating from it. Not that it is us or on you, but I am Heimenu. I am not allowed to go and eat it. Then that's a Shvua. What? How does that make it Yadayim Mochichot? Even if you wave your cup of coffee at it and so on, how would that make it Yadayim Mochichot? I mean, understand if you're carrying a oil lamp and you wave something over it and you're a Kohen, you would expect something to pop out or whatever. But otherwise, what would be the meaning of waving a cup of coffee over something? So what would be, you know, the poor people who listen to this without the video scratching their head like a cup of coffee.
So for those who don't know, I could bring here an actual nair and fill it with chuma oil. We're not kidding. But you're maybe just saving me the effort.
All we want to do is watch the genie. That's what we want to do. As that could be very useful today. Okay, in any event.
Cohen's genie is invisible like Pinchas. You won't see it.
I see. All right. So how do you know that he means Hareini as a Naziris? I understand. I mean, that's the norm. But that's Yadayim She'enan Mochichot. We're going according to Shmuel. So how could it mean that it's Naziris? Maybe he means Hareini B'Tanit. Because that's a lotion of Kabbalah Tanit as well, is it not? Says Shmuel, you're right. We need to actually have the contextual insight into the nature of the language. And therefore, when he said over here, what he said beferish was that there was a Nazir there at the time when he said that, then that is in fact Nazirut. And when you say Heimenu, you're saying that it means, now from here, apparently, even though the Gemara in our Girsa skips over it, but as the Rishonim say, undoubtedly that would be the point of the Korban also. That the Korban was in front of him. And therefore, when he said a lie, he meant a lie, a Korban. So Shmuel would give the same answer. Fine. What about the last part? Heimenu means a Shvua. Heimenu? A Shvua what? Not to eat? How do you know Heimenu means not to eat? I mean, Heimenu could mean, I'm definitely going to eat that one. I swear to God. Like a Russia would say, right? So the Arabs do that all the time. Okay, so, you know, swear by my mother or whatever. So why wouldn't that be a shvua to eat? Dilma himena de achilna ka'ama. Correct. You're right, says Rava. We would have to understand it in order for it to be clear, is that the thing was in front of him and he said, beferish, himena shalo chal, kinidre rishaim. So what's the chiddush? I don't understand. Then he said it, right? No, because Olo Mafik Shvua Mipume. He didn't say anything about a Shvua. He said Kinidre Rishayim. How does a Neder become a Shvua? That's the Kiddush. that the type of things that Rishayim do are that makes the impact of neder, but isn't a neder, could be a nazirus, whatever, is a shvua in this case because of the way that he put it. And therefore it is the equivalent of a yad. So even though it seems to be saying neder, that doesn't matter because it's actually a lotion that can be used, as we'll see throughout the Masechet, that people are not makbit to be very clear about whether they mean a neder or a shvua. Then you say kinidre kisherim, then nothing. But if you say kinidvot kisherim, then all of this would be true except the shvua, because a kisherim would never make a shvua, even with the Ron's conceptual nedava, even with the best intentions in the world, they would never make a shvua and be mezalzel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making him either the actual shem or the implicit participant in his commitment. That's what's worse about a shvua. And that's the idea of shvua shav and nosisa shem elokecha, even though the Ron proved from the opening mishnah that we obviously don't need the shem Hashem for a shvua, which, by the way, not all agree to. But since the mishnah says that the idea of the yad would apply also over there, yes, that's not a yad. If you use the shem Hashem, if somebody says Bashem or whatever, right? Elokei Yisrael, lo achilna, that would be a shvua ipso facto without any kind of other yadais. You don't have to say usher. You don't need a yad. That is the shvua. Fine. Okay. But nonetheless, it would mean over here only legabi neder for korban or nazirus, then it would be kosher, not for shvua. Now, the question is, where does this idea come from? Where do we get the idea that using, especially according to the Ran, that your intent to be a good boy or a bad boy? I mean, is that the point? And we could use the difference between a nedava and a neder as a fundamental difference in the way that the Torah adjusts its ambivalence to this entire sugya? How is that? Baruch Avram just came up with a brilliant new solution, a window shade. Oh, there we go. So the question over here, therefore, is where do you find a Tana that could have authored this Mishnah? I don't know of a Tana that makes a difference between a neder and a nedava. It doesn't seem to work out to either of the two famous Tanoim that argue in the Pasuk that discusses the idea. This is in Kohelet, and Kohelet is full of ambivalences, right? So in Kohelet, where we're talking about the question of neder and so on, nobody makes this difference. Neither Rebbe Meir nor Rebbe Yehuda. Let's examine the sugya in Kohelet, and we'll see why it's so confusing. So we start with a pasuk. Et asher tidor shalem. What it is that you swore to pay or to do, you better pay it up. And then it goes ahead and says something absolutely, it sounds ridiculous. Tov asher lo tidor, misha tidor velo tishalem. It would be better not to make the neder than to make a neder and then not pay it up. I should hope so. I mean, like, so what is this supposed to mean? So this is a big machlokas between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. So Rebbe Meir says like this, tov mizeh umizeh she'eno noder kol ikar. It would be even better. In other words, et asher tidor shalem. Hey, idiot, if you made a neder, then you better pay it up. Because why should you better pay it up? It would have been better not to make a neder ever at all, because maybe misha tidor velo tishalem. So if you're so stupid that you made a neder, chas v'shalom, who knows what's going to happen to you? Maybe you'll die before you can pay it up. You'll lose all your money before. How do you take a thing like that upon yourself? So tov asher lo tidor would have been better not to make a neder. Why? Because if you do make a neder, it might turn out to be misha tidor velo tishalem. Therefore, what the pasuk is essentially saying, says Rebbe Meir, is keep your mouth shut and don't make a neder at all. That's what it's saying. Well, he doesn't say anything about it being okay if you use the word nedava as opposed to neder, does he? So it can't be Rebbe Meir. And it isn't Rebbe Yehuda either, because Rebbe Yehuda says, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, he understands that the pasuk is, et asher tidor shalem. Look, if you're going to make a neder, you better pay it up right away. That's good. That's fine. But if you cannot take care of this 100% in a way that's not going to get you into trouble, believe me, you are not going to get anywhere by making guarantees and then saying, oh, gosh, it didn't work out, but at least my heart was in the right place. And I did want to give $1 million to the building of the new Erev in the kibbutz with Baruch Avram. And I promised to give $1 million, but it didn't work out. I had bought one share of Tesla, and I figured it would be worth $1 million, but what can you do? Okay, anybody who wants to give those Tesla or Apple shares to Baruch Avram for the building of the new Erev in the kibbutz should know that there is a special fund available, and he will provide you the information for the account.
And that when the founders feel it, they'll dance in their graves.
Exactly. For that alone, it's worth giving some donation, right? Just to watch. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. But nobody, not Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Meir, says a word about a difference between a neder and a nedava. So why is the Mishnah, I mean, this is like the central Mishnah. You understand the power of this Mishnah? That it is right up front telling you the depth of the ambivalence, Rishayim and Kisharim, and that the way that you're relating to it will make all the difference in the world. That is very, very powerful. Like this, people look at this Mishnah. Yeah, okay, fine. It's like that. It's not a small detail. It's going directly into the depths of Zeh HaDavar. So what's this all about? It's important to understand how this relates to Kohelet, isn't it? Answers the Gemara, look, it could work out. We're going to go through both. So today we're going to go through Rabbi Meir. A filu tamer Rabbi Meir, it does work out according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir wasn't addressing the dova. He was addressing the pasuk. It's talking about neder. Tova asher lo tidor, misha tidor velo tishalem. Masha inken, when it comes to making a nedava, then he would have agreed that in the event that you make a nedava, it's different. Now here, Rabosa, even though we have extrapolated from this point a difference between the concept of nadvanut and neder, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the clear-cut, halakhically defined difference between a neder and a dava. Now, where that appears is where? In the context of korbonos. So if a person says harei olai and something happens to that animal, it doesn't matter what happened, and it doesn't matter if it's your fault. It matters the fact that you said, I'm taking it on my shoulders, harei olai, command that's actually carrying it out, katfei, toin leo katfei. It's right there on my, I'm carrying this animal. Whoa, that's dangerous, man. This might be a very expensive animal. And who knows? You might try to bring it three times, and every time something else happened to it. You might go bankrupt from this. You sure you want to say harei olai? No. Tova asher lo tidor. Don't take any chances. But suppose you say, this animal shall be a carbon island. So then if anything happens to it, I mean, that's, you know, that's God's problem. It's not my problem. I mean, he said, this animal is an Ayla, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit it with lightning. I mean, so what do you want from me, right? So then he's not responsible, because he was never toin le al katfe. Gavi, toin le al katfe. Kiman de toin le al katfe. That's the Lashon HaMarei Alai. That is a neder. Kiman de toin le al katfe. So now, if you would make a nedava, technical nedava, then we're going to extrapolate from that conceptually, neder and nedava. But what the pasuk is talking about, according to Rabbi Meir, is specifically neder. I never said not to make a nedava. What would I have against a nedava? What says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I don't want you to bring karbonis. So if you would say, harei zu oila, go right ahead and say, harei zu oila, which would mean that according to Rabbi Meir, I never said that a nedava is a problem. I only said that a neder is a problem. And now we'll, as the Ran does, extrapolate your attitude. Because the nedava means you're being very careful. You're not making it your business. You're not taking responsibility. You're doing what you can for Avodah Shamayim. If it doesn't work out, chas v'shalom, but I would put myself ahead of anybody else. And it's a put down of the other people who aren't so moral as I am and so on. Fine. That's okay. I understand. The Mishnah says that if a person says kinidvotam, so then he was nadar. I understand. Isn't that, I mean, a contradiction? Is it nidavar or is it neder? No, no, so fine. Use the word nadav, but not zruba carbon. And that, as the Ron says, the point is not what you did. You did the naziris, but you did it as a nedivut halev, which the Gemara, of course, will immediately ask. But first, what's the difference? Why would the Torah be makbid on neder and not be makbid on a dove? I mean, I'm assuming that the neder is a bad boy and tova shalotidor because dilma atibiyami de takala, since he accepted responsibility, what happens if he cannot maintain that responsibility? Isn't that the point? But that could happen with an adava also. Suppose you promise to bring, this is an oila. Okay, fine. This is an oila. What are you going to do with it? You have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash if this is an oila, right? What happens if you end up waiting too long and you're going to be over on Baal Ta'achar? Or you'll be over on the Mitzvah Saseya bringing it for the first Yontif? Or what happens if somebody is nene from it, or you're nene from it, and weren't careful and it got mixed up with other? I mean, God only knows what could happen. You need Hegdish walking around in your house that you're responsible for? So why isn't it just as bad to have a situation like that that can lead to terrible things? Nedova namilo, dilmati bile de takala. Ah, true. We don't mean any old nedava. We mean a nedava that you were careful could not come lidei takala. And we know that it's possible to make that kind of nedava like Hillel HaZaken used to do. Amru al Hillel HaZaken shol ma'al adam bo latoko yamav. Nobody could ever come lidei takala. Why? Because he would bring the oila himself as it was chulin, right up to the door of the Azor. Before bringing it into the Beis HaMikdash, he would say, Hare zo ola, would walk in. First, he was Magdashit, would walk in, did smicha and shchita all within moments of each other. And that would mean that there is no possibility of anybody being mayal. So that's wonderful. That's what we mean when we say nidava. A nidava, which indeed is an expression of care, concern, and intimate involvement to see to it that it's only good. That's the difference between a guy who just wants his name in the paper for giving the donation with a guy who wants to see what is going to be achieved. Totally different mindset. Okay, I understand. That's the concept of nidava with a carbon. But naziris, isn't naziris always a problem? You're going to make yourself a nazir. And then what's going to happen? I don't know. Someone will mix wine with something you didn't know about it. You'll forget and you'll eat a raisin. I mean, anything could happen, for heaven's sakes. Or somebody could die suddenly and you become tamei. And I mean, it's terrible. So what is the nedava element of a nazir? Now, obviously, there's no way of difference making the technical difference between Hare Alai Nazirut or Hare Ani Nazir, because in the end, it's Hare Ni Nazir that creates the Nazir state. So how could you do that in a good way? Oh, you do it like the story of Shimon HaTzadik. The Tanya Omer Shimon HaTzadik. You know, I never ate a carbon asham from a Nazir who was Tameh, because I figured, as we'll see, that since he became Tameh, he must have charata, because now he has to keep his whole naziris over again. His heart's not really in it. I don't participate in korbanos where your heart isn't in it. And therefore, what it means, obviously, is also I wouldn't eat any of his korbanos, not his asham and not the chatas eilor shlomim that he brings. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Why does he mention specifically the asham? Because that clarifies he's talking about an asham tameh, because there is no asham for nazir tohar, right? Okay, but there was one time that I did. One time this kid comes up from the Darom and he's beautiful. What gorgeous eyes he had. Tov ro'i, looked so beautiful. He had his hair, this beautiful curly hair. And he's coming up to the Beis HaMikdash as a Nazir. And I am infuriated. I say to him, what are you, crazy? You take beautiful hair like that and you go to yeshiva so they should shave it off? This is nuts. Maraita, I don't understand, Bini. How could you do such a thing? Maraita la shchitet tzarcha zu ana'a. Why would you cut such beautiful curls? And he told me, I'll tell you this story. Ro'eh hayiti la'aba b'iri. I was a shepherd with poor people. I never had a mirror in my house. I had no idea what I looked like. I'm taking care of these sheep. And one day I go to Malot Mayim in Amayan. So I go to fill up a pail of water. And all of a sudden I see my reflection. Oh my God, I am beautiful. So here is Narcissus. There he is. I have fallen in love with this gorgeous, beautiful me. So now I figure, okay, the world is my oyster, right? Then I realize, oh God, with that kind of attitude, I am finished. So I said to myself, anyway, I'm completely taken over by my Yetzer Hara. Amartilo, so I tell my Yetzer Hara, you, Russia, what's the matter with you? What are you doing? What's your business over here in a world that you have really no part in? Because you're never going to get any pleasure out of this world. So you want to take over this beautiful kid who's going to be worms one day? What is that going to give you? Fall in love with a pile of maggots. I swear by the Avedas Beis HaMikdash, I am going to cut you all off. All those beautiful curls, l'shamayim, all for l'shem shamayim. Oh, when I heard that to Shimon HaTzadik, I went over and kissed him and I told him, oh my gosh, this is Naziris. This is what it's all about. Alecha, katuv, kamocha, yirbu, nozre, Naziris, b'Yisrael. That kind of Nazir, I'm very happy to participate in their karbonis. And I know you would never change your mind just because you became dumb and you have to keep an extra year of Naziris. To you, it's all totally real. That I appreciate. That's what it means when it says, Nidvais Kisherim for Naziris. A person like that, it puts his whole heart into it. And it's part of the way that he views the world. I mean, it's just deeply, deeply an act of love. And that's where it says, Ish ki yafli lindor neder nozul azul Hashem. And the entire idea is l'shem Hashem. That was the time. So because of that, I am going to make the difference between Naziris as Ksherim, meaning that it's like a Nedava, and Naziris is like a Neder, where like you want to use it. Matki floor of money, wait a minute, but if that's the case, then why did Shimon HaTzadik only not eat from the Asham Nazir Tameh, which means none of the Karbonas? I mean, because of the Chet, I'm assuming it means, right? Because he wasn't supposed to be Tameh. He shouldn't eat from any Asham. Any Asham is coming for a chait, nor any chatas. Amalei Rabbi Yona, no, it's not because it's a chait. The reason is because, look, kishahim tohim nozrim. Normally what happens is people wake up the morning after the night before and they say, oh my God, this is all I need. So they make themselves a nazir. They don't really want to be a nazir. They want to use the naziris to get out of trouble. Right? Fine. So he makes himself a nazir. Then, as the time goes on, especially if he becomes tummy, now he's got to keep double the time. He's saying, oh, was I stupid? What did I get into this mess for? Right? So therefore, his heart's not really in it. So to me, that's like bringing chulin b'azor. It doesn't mean literally, because he didn't go and matir before he brought the carbon, but his heart isn't in it. And that's like nidrei rishayim. So then, kishahin mitamim v'rabim aleim yimei nezirut mitchartim b'em, now they have charata. And they could have gone and they could have gotten a heter for the Naziris, but they didn't. Okay, so then it turns out, as far as I'm concerned, that's like chulin b'azor. Not really, but it's when a person's heart isn't in things, that's how I see it. Says Rav Mani, so then even a Nazir Tohar is also maybe changed his mind. No, come on, says Rav Yain. I mean, Nazir Tohar, lo. Because the guy realizes when he makes the netter originally, look, for 30 days I can go through this, you know? So then that means he knows himself well enough to know he's not going to change his mind. But when it doubles into 60 days, so then Enochinami over there, I wouldn't do it. So that would be one approach to the sugya, and that it's going Aliba to Rabbi Meir. Now, it could also go Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, if we want to not believe that that's what Rabbi Meir said. And that Rabbi Meir was only talking about Nadarim, but would have accepted Nadava. So let's look at it maybe the other way, if you'd rather say that it's Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, so it could work out like Rabbi Yehuda. And I would say the same thing, that when did Rabbi Yehuda say that when it says in the Pasuk, Et asher tidor shalem, that's talking about a Nadova, but not a Neder. What do you mean? It says, he says, Beferish, Tov mizeh, Noder umikayem. It doesn't mean no there in the sense of a real lie. It means making the neder that it's a carbon as an adava. So basically, what Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir, that it's not a good idea to be no there, and that what it actually means is that it's tov asher lo tidor. That's really true. But an adava, that's okay. So basically, this has Rabbi Yehuda saying what we thought the Rabbi Meir was saying. Now we're saying, maybe you're right. Maybe Rabbi Meir is saying you can't even do an adava, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can do an adava. It works out either way. And we're going to go through the same story, but you see the advantage of Rabbi Yehuda being the one who makes this distinction is that we don't have to go to Shimon HaTzadik to understand it. And we don't have to go to Hillel HaZaken to understand it, because Rabbi Yehuda himself actually made those differences without our bringing raya's from elsewhere. So therefore, it does make a difference if we understand the Mishnah going Alibi to Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll run through the questions again. So a nedava could also bring you to a takola, and someone will be male in the carbon, etc., etc. And answers the Gemara, this is Rabbi Yehuda Lataime, which essentially is the same as Hillel HaZaken. The Omar Oda, maybe Kivsasir Azar, the correct way to make an adava, bring your keves to the Azara, meaning up to the door. Can't bring it in if it's not Kodesh. Then you magdish it. Then you immediately bring it in. You're semech on it. You do the shchita, etc. In other words, basically, he himself had suggested to do things like that without saying sha'asir kishimanat kehilal azake. That was the way that he held. Personally, you have to do it. Okay, same question we asked on the point of Rabbi Meir. That's all very nice for Karbanas, but Nedava Nenaziris Ma'ikala Meimar, for which by Rabbi Meir we had to go to the story of Shimon HaTzadik. But for Rabbi Yehuda, we don't, because Rabbi Yehuda talks it out himself. Rabbi Yehuda says there was a reason that Kisherim used to make themselves Nazirim. Why? Because Chasidim HaRishonim Ayu Mitavim Lavi Korban Chatat. Listen. Every different type of carbon that is brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a different type of tikkun nefesh and a different type of relationship, correct? The same way that we have a tefilas nedava and that we have a tefilas musafim. Fine. So he, a person who's a chassid, he brought karbanas, he brought a karban shlomim, he brought a karban oila, but he's thinking to himself, how am I ever going to be zeicha to bring a karban chatas chas v'shalom? I don't want to be chayte. How could I ever have that tikkun nefesh? So they would make themselves a nazirim. And then at the end of the nazirut, they would bring the carbon, l'shem Hashem, as a carbon chatas, right? So the fishena kadosh baruch hu, maybe takala yedeim, they're never going to be able to really bring a carbon chatas because kadosh baruch hu keeps them from chait. So ma hayu osim, omdim umitnadvim nezirut l'mokom kedei shitchayev carbon chatas l'mokom. So now, Aliba, Rabbi Yehuda, we have a very good reason for bringing a nezirus as a caution. As a chassid. Okay. And tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we'll see that not everybody agrees with this, but okay. But so far we have two approaches to the simple pshat in the Mishnah as to whether it's being memayate the yad by adding kenidre kisherim, or whether it actually means that kenidre kisherim per se would be the yad, and it's telling you that it isn't. Okay. So we have that machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran, but are the main proponents of those approaches. We've understood that even though there's no practical reality to the difference between neder and adava in its application vis-a-vis a nazir, but there is an overall conceptual difference between the idea of nadvanut and the idea of the roughness and control seeking of a person who would be neder. Out of it, we understand the ambivalence, which is expressed by Kohelet here, in which even the ambivalence about the ambivalence is unclear. That's the machlokas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and the discussion here in this sugya. The ambivalence that's expressed in the concept of zeh hadavar, the ambivalence that's expressed in the idea of heter nedarim and afaras nedarim, and the fact that all of these things are hidden under the surface and they're arorim atulim besara and so on. That's because the more subtle the understanding of the internal mechanisms and psychology that's involved in things that are nogea different people in different ways, the more unclear the Torah is about it. That's the whole point. And as we get into sugyas that are deeply unclear, the lack of clarity becomes almost a shout. So when we get into sugyas that nobody is going to understand unless they are capable of the most supreme subtleties in thinking, such as ideas of Maaseh Merkava and so on, or Seder Satira, or even where it's pshat, you have the story of Shimshon. Nobody knows what's going on. He doesn't know what's going on. His parents don't know what's going on. The world doesn't know what's going on. I don't know what this is all about. You can't tell it over to kids because they don't know what is going on over here.
Fine. And he was a Nazir.
What?
And he was a Nazir.
He sure was. Exactly. It's a very profound expression, of course, but the idea of how the Torah utilizes Naziris in support of the type of behavior that the other guy was using. The Roya Saita Bikukula, make a Nazir, and then Shimon HaTzadik, he goes, right? I'm saying Shimshon HaTzadik, he goes, and he uses the Naziris as a way to go out of all bounds and control. Anyway, so fine. Of course, that's part of the whole getter of the Torah. In all of the gray areas, all of the subtle areas, it becomes more and more difficult to come up with a clear-cut description of right and wrong, because it's contextual. That's the whole point. And those are the Zehadavar issues. Okay, so this is wonderful, a fantastic introduction to a profoundly important sugya, an entree into the whole idea of Moshe Rabbeinu's words in Matos of Zehadavar. And of course, we'll be getting into the ideas of Hafara and Hatara and the differences between them and where they're applicable as we go on in this wonderful, exciting, which people think is actually boring, but really weird. Okay, we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.